John, and that is concerning the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'd like to make this mention in passing, that what we commonly know as the Lord's Prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. When He taught the disciples to pray, He said, "Pray thus, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." Now, that's not the Lord's Prayer, but that's a prayer that He gave us to serve as a model prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and you have heard 11 verses of that read in the lesson. This is the longest recorded prayer that Jesus ever prayed. And a person's prayer life will reveal his or her spirituality. Let me make that statement again. A person's prayer life will reveal his or her spirituality. Now, Jesus Christ set forth many examples in His life. And I'd like to give you some 5 or 6 of the examples that He set forth. Number one, He set forth an example of prayer. Number two, He set forth an example of fasting. He set forth an example of forgiving. He set forth an example of meekness, an example of loyalty, to be loyal to the cause of God. He set forth an example of praying for His enemies. And He intends for us to do the same thing. He set forth an example of clean living inside and out. Now, I could stay on these examples that Christ left us and not go any deeper into the lesson. The examples of Christ. Now, the Scripture admonishes us to walk in His footsteps, who did no sin and neither was guile found in His mouth. When you begin to pattern your life after Jesus, pray, fast, forgive, demonstrate the spirit of meekness, be loyal to the cause of God, praying for your enemies, live a clean life inside and out, you will certainly make it to the place the Bible calls heaven. Now, this prayer reveals the relationship between the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. I would be foolish to tell you that Jesus never prayed. Now, this is the longest recorded prayer, but He prayed other prayers. There were times when He would separate Himself and go to the mountain to pray. He was a man that prayed. And the reason of this lesson is for us to reconcile the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice carefully that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Now, some people will have you to believe that Jesus Christ, who was the second person in the Trinity, was praying to the first person in the Trinity. Now, really, to explain what this means, it means the humanity of Jesus was crying out to deity. It was not the second person praying to the first person. That's not it at all. When people can get a revelation of really who Jesus was and what He came to do, then the scales will fall from everybody's eyes and they will have a complete revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this was the humanity of Jesus crying out to deity. Now, I want you to notice carefully, the mystery is not God in three persons. The mystery is that God, who was deity, was manifested in the flesh. Now, that's the mystery. That's the mystery. Immediately, to a person that's never had the revelation of God in Christ, immediately when you say God the Father, Jesus the Son, immediately they see two separate distinct persons in heaven. because there's a Father and a Son. And I'd be foolish to stand behind this pulpit today and tell you that we do not believe in the Father, because we believe in the Father. We do not deny the Father. We have located the Father. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthian Christians, he explained it like this. He said, to wit, that means to know, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, to prove these statements that I'm making, let me read you three scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, everybody say God. God was manifest in the flesh. Now that's what the Bible said. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, who was manifest in the flesh? God. Who preached to the Gentiles? God. Who was it that was believed on in the world? God. Well, it's so simple. God was manifest in the flesh. There is no way on this side of eternity that we can comprehend how that deity robed himself in humanity. It was a miracle, but I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. It was not one God leaving another God in heaven and coming to earth, but it was the only God there was. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which was spirit, simply put on a temple of flesh, a garment of flesh. The Bible calls it the veil of flesh. And he came into the world, and this eternal God, which was spirit, hid himself behind the veil of flesh. That veil of flesh was the Son of God that came forth from the womb of the Virgin Mary. Anybody ought to could see that. Now another scripture, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law. Now, where did the Son of God come from? He was made of a woman. Well, anybody ought to understand that. The Son of God was made of a woman under the law. Now, when you hear somebody talking about the eternal Son of God, you can say that is false and it's an error. There's no such thing taught in the Bible as the eternal Son of God. Now, when you talk about something that is eternal, that is something that had no beginning, nor no ending. The Son of God was made of a woman under the law. The sonship had a beginning. And anything that had a beginning should have an ending. There'll be a day when we will not need a go-between. There'll be a day when he will shed the sonship, and he will assume that which he had in the beginning, the Father of all, the Father of lights. The flesh is simply a go-between between lost humanity and a holy God. Now let me go to another scripture. He was made. Now somebody told me the other day, and of course I had already heard a preacher say this one time, I went out to hear a very famous preacher preach. And along in his message, this is what he said. He said the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had a round table discussion in heaven. Now, can you imagine a sensible, educated man making a statement like that? That the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had a round table discussion in heaven. Now, the Father said, I want somebody to go down and die for the sins of the world. The Son got up and said, Father, if you will let me go and die for the sins of the world, I will return.
And the Holy Ghost got up and said, now if you let the Son go and die for the sins of the world, then when He gets back, then I'll go back down to earth and I'll be the Comforter. Then somebody heard that statement a few days ago on the radio, and they came to me and told me about it. That there was a conference in heaven of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, if you could let your mind wander to eternity's past, there was only one God. He was eternal and invisible. There was no Son of God. There was no Son of Man until He was made in the womb of the Virgin Mary under the law. So when He was made of a woman under the law, God simply formed Him a visible body, and the invisible God got into the visible body. That visible body was the flesh, the Son of God, the Son of Man. And He walked the shores of Galilee, healing the sick, raising the dead. And He said, it's not I that doeth these things, but it's my Father that lives in me. He doeth these works. He could say, when you see me, you see Him that sent me. When you see me, you see the Father. For the Father's in me, I'm in the Father, and I in you. That's the mystery. It was not another God coming, but it was the one eternal God manifesting Himself in the temple of human flesh. Mark chapter 12, the Bible said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's why the Jews did not accept Jesus Christ in the beginning. They could not accept Him as God. If they would have accepted Him at all, they would have had to accept Him as God. But you hear me? Zechariah said, there'll be a day when they will accept Him. When they see Him coming back seated up on a white charger, and the saints will come back with Him. They're going to look up on Him, the Bible said, of whom they have pierced. And they're going to say, Lo, this is our God that we have waited for so long. When a person gets the revelation I'm talking about, and it's a very amazing thing how educated ministers will go to Bible colleges after college and get their degree, and when they come out, they do not have a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know where I got my revelation? In my day, we had no Bible schools to attend. Where I got my revelation was the Bible, and I still have that Bible. I got it by a pine knot fire and a lamplight. That's where I got my revelation. I put my nose in this book only 17 years old. Received the Holy Ghost. I knew nothing about God. I mean nothing about God. And I began to pray. I listened to what preachers that came around that I could hear preach. And God gave me a revelation of His name. Hallelujah. A revelation of His name. And I'm here to tell you that revelation is as real today as it was when I received it. Now the Son of God was made. Let me go to another thought here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, reading through verse 35. Now notice, this is about Jesus. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, who was the Father of Jesus? The Holy Ghost. So that puts God and the Holy Ghost as the same. There's number one spirit. Jesus Christ had no earthly father. He had a heavenly father. But He was called the Son of God. But he did have an earthly mother. Thus, he was called the Son of Man. He was the Son of God because he had a heavenly father. He was the Son of Man because he had an earthly mother. Oh, it's so simple. How deity blended itself with humanity. Hallelujah. And it was so closely connected until Jesus could say, when you see me, you see my Father. Now, he was made of a woman. Now let me establish the humanity of Jesus. Are you still with me? Let me establish the humanity of Jesus by giving you six things. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. He was in hunger. That means that the same hunger pains that grips you when you get hungry, gripped him when he got hungry. He was hungry. Number 2, Matthew 8:24. But he was asleep. He went to sleep. He got tired and sleepy, like any human being. Number 3, John chapter 4, verse 6. When he went to the well of Jacob, the Bible said, being wearied with his journey, he sat thus on the well. He got sleepy, and he was wearied with his journey. Number 4, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Number 5, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. Jesus Christ had a human brain. His humanity developed. He went through development just like any other child that was born in the world. He had a human brain. He grew in wisdom, knowledge. His body grew, reached maturity. If people could see what I'm talking about today, you would never doubt. You would never doubt the oneness of God. I was talking to one man one time, and he said, I tell you right now, he said, what kind of preacher are you? Well, I said, I'm a oneness. Oh, he said, that oneness? No, I said, not oneness. I said, two-less. Two less three makes one. Hallelujah. You know, and some of our folks, they go around, well, I'm a oneness. Never let nobody hear you say oneness. It's oneness, the oneness of God in Christ Jesus. He who was spirit became flesh. You see, the spirit could not save anybody. The spirit had no blood. And the Bible said to the Hebrew Christians, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The Spirit had no blood to shed for anybody. But the Spirit, which was God, took on flesh and blood. Hallelujah! And He shed that blood that we might have remission of sins. So we are oneness people, not oneless. Oneness. Oneness. Now, Christ had a human brain. He differed from us in this manner. He had no sin, but we did. And the reason he had no sin was because he had a heavenly Father. That's why he had no sin. He was subject to the same laws, the same physical laws and development that we are subject to. Christ was absolutely and genuinely human. Number 6, 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible said in Christ died. How much more human can an individual get? When he gets tired, weary, sleepy, tempted, and at last he died. He was absolutely human and he was absolutely God. Hallelujah. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. Now let me establish his deity. I think I've given you enough scriptures to prove that he was human. Now let me go to the scriptures and let us investigate and see if he was really deity. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. Now that's as far back as we know, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, do we agree with the first verse? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Well, now, if you agree there, and you'd better agree, I'll just flip the page over to verse number 14. Now, we all agree that the Word was God. Now, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That's the clincher. You can't argue that away. I said, you can't argue that away. Well, I just don't see that. You better get the blinds off. I just can't see that. Well, why can't you? The Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. Well, anybody ought to understand that. It's not the Father sending down the second person of the Blessed Trinity. It was the first and only true eternal God condescending down to earth and taking on the veil of flesh of the temple of humanity that came from the womb of the Virgin Mary. That's why I preach the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. There's churches and preachers all over this civilized country of ours. They are denying the virgin birth of the Son of God. They're saying that any Roman soldier could have been the father of Jesus Christ. Denying the blood. If I believe that Jesus Christ had an earthly father, He was no more than you. He was no more than me. Mary had never known a man. The Holy Ghost overshadowed her and planted in her womb holy divine seed. And it developed and grew. And the child was born. He was called the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was God made manifest in the flesh. And that flesh died. Well, we've been accused of preaching that God died. The Spirit which was God did not die. When Jesus hung on the cross, that Spirit just left that body for a period of time. And then that Spirit came back into that body in the tomb and He came out. Hallelujah, He came out. Let me give you another scripture. Listen, scriptures are just coming to me just as fast as I can think. Colossians chapter 2, verse 89. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the Moffat translation says, for in Him dwells all of the body part of God. You'll never see God outside of Jesus Christ. If you get to heaven, walk up to the throne and say, now, Father, I've seen the Son. Now I want to see You. Show me the Father. Well, He would say, I had the same trouble down in John chapter 14 with a fellow that asked the same question. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. You think His answer would be any different? Same answer. The same one doing the talking. He that has seen Me has seen the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be the same answer to the same question. If you are perplexed about Jesus Christ, just remember what Paul said. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. I'm going to establish His deity. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now let me read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. Now let me read to confirm that, Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. If the Bible's ever destroyed, and certain people writes another one, this is how they're going to change Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a Jesus and call his name Son. That's how they'll have it. But I'm going to stick with this one. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's his name. It's not son. The son's name is Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Oh, I'm happy. Praise God, I'm happy. I can stay right here all day and just talk about Jesus, just like I'm talking about him right now. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, that establishes his deity. That establishes his deity. Now, let me make a few more examples of Christ. Now, some only see him as a man. That's all they see of Jesus is a man. And some only see him as God. Now, here is the dangerous thing. There is no lie as dangerous as half-truth. To you that only see him as a man, he's more than a man. To you that only see him as God, he's more than God, he's a man. If you can get that in your mind, he's both. He has a dual nature. He's God and man. He was deity. He was humanity. He was the Son and the Father. Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He was God and he was man. Now that's the real truth about Jesus. He was both. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. The scripture said, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You remember what Pilate said when he saw Jesus? He said, behold the man. The man, Christ Jesus. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's the only way that God could reach man was through flesh. The flesh died on the cross. The flesh shed his blood for the remission of sins. And on the third day, the Spirit came back into that body. And it arose. And that body is seated in heaven now as the glorified, visible embodiment of deity and power. A man got smart with me one time and told me, he said, if you keep preaching what you're preaching, he said, you'll soon be preaching that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. I said, I'm already preaching that. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Oh, what a vision! What a revelation we've had! We ought to rejoice in the truth. You know, some people can't rejoice until you start a good, fast, foot-stomping song. And then, brother, listen, they can cut the mustard then. You know, when I rejoice in the truth. I rejoice in the truth. I'm not near finished yet. But that clock's about to catch up with me, but I'm still not half finished. The Lord of glory, Paul said, they crucified him. Pilate said, behold the man. Psalms chapter 24, verse 7. Who is the Lord of glory? He said, open up the gates and the Lord of glory will come in. Then he asked, he said, who is the Lord of glory? He that is strong and mighty. Hallelujah. That is the Lord of glory. But yet he condescended, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He surrendered his life on Calvary. He could have called a legion of angels. They would have took him down from the cross and saved his life. But he laid down his life and shed his blood that we, lost humanity, might have redemption through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Notice, he could talk from two different standpoints. He could talk as the Almighty God, or he could talk as a human. He could act as Almighty God, or he could act as a human. God in Christ is the mystery of godliness. It is God making himself man. Now, I want to leave something with you today. Never forget it. We've got people in our churches scattered all over our fellowship. They got baptized in Jesus' name, but they don't know why. Oh, I go to the One God Pentecostal Church, and a lot of them has never had a revelation of what I'm talking about today. I know. I preached the camp meeting some time ago. They had an official recorder who recorded every sermon in that camp meeting. And then another district had the same recorder who recorded all the sermons that was preached in their camp meeting. And when I walked up to the tape table, I was looking through the tape of different men that had preached camp meetings about 2 years back in both districts. All the tapes were displayed. And when I looked them over, the recorder looked at me and smiled. He knew what I preached, and he knew he'd heard me in 92, and he'd heard me years ago. He said, "Brother Gammon, how many sermons on doctrine do you see displayed on this table that I have recorded from two districts?" I said, "I don't see a one." But I said, "When I leave this camp meeting, you're going to have some laying on this table." He said, "Thank God." He said, "I have asked our district officials, why don't we get somebody that will preach doctrine to our people?" When a man gets fully established, when he is anchored in this great eternal truth that I'm talking about, no false doctrine can ever come along and sway him and shake him and move him. When you find this, you have found what God intends for us to have. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Since I started preaching camp meetings, I have a list. I've preached camp meetings in 26 districts of the United Pentecostal Church. And a lot of them has been repeats over and over again. 26 districts of the United Pentecostal Church. And when I pick up my Bible to go preach the first night, they say, "Now we know what you preach, so let us have it." That's all they have to say. Praise God, praise God. I'll tell you, all of this little ease are going around trying to please everybody, patting everybody on the back. And the preacher will tell you, "Now you come to my church and I'll baptize you any way you want to be baptized." He's a hypocrite. He's a deceiver. "I won't baptize you but one way if I never get another convert. I won't baptize you but one way, and that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never baptize you but one way." Now you see, there's not but one baptism. When it comes down to being baptized in water, there's only one way to baptize you. And that's the right way. Now if that man will baptize you either way, there's something wrong with the man. And there's nothing wrong with me. Praise God. Hallelujah! Now, I'm going to make this statement. And when I was getting up this lesson, I wrote this down in red ink so I wouldn't forget it. And I don't want you to ever forget what I'm going to say. The mystery of godliness was God making himself a man. Did you ever read in the Bible where it says the mystery of iniquity? You know what that is? I don't want you to ever forget what I'm going to teach you across this pulpit right now. The mystery of godliness is God making himself man. The mystery of iniquity is a man making himself God. That'll take place in the Antichrist. That's the mystery of iniquity. And all this generation has to do is not to accept the mystery of godliness. They will accept the mystery of iniquity. We've already taken a mark. Jesus' name. That's our mark. This generation is headed for the mark of the beast. And a preacher that will stand up and preach to you that there's no difference in the method or the mode or the formula of baptism. He's preparing you to take the mark of the beast. Just as sure as I'm talking to you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's one God. I said there's one God. Just as sure as I'm teaching this Bible class here today, you mark down these words. This generation is going to have to make their decision. It's either accepting God manifest in the flesh, which is the mystery of godliness, or either they're going to be ushered into the tribulation period and they're going to find the Antichrist, which is the mystery of iniquity, making himself God, and they're going to bow down and worship the Antichrist. But oh, the Bible said, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Makes all the difference in the world what you believe about God. Hallelujah. You mark these words that I'm trying to tell you now. They will be compelled to accept the mystery of iniquity. Now notice, Jesus prayed as a man. Oh, we've been accused. I've been in and around debates for years and years. And they'll say, well, Jesus was praying to himself. It wasn't praying to himself. It was humanity praying to deity. It was the flesh praying to the spirit. But that's where they misunderstand us, because they're carnal-minded men. Now notice, I'm going to take you to a scripture that you've heard and heard and heard and heard. You see, the problem with Bible reading is this. You want to read so many chapters, and when you set your goal to read six chapters, and you read six chapters, probably when you read the last verse of the six chapters, you don't even know what you read. I study my Bible in subjects. I read the Bible. But when I get a thought in my mind, I pursue that thought. And here's a scripture that I'll guarantee you, when I read it, a lot of you are not going to recognize what I'm going to say about it. I want you to carefully and prayerfully listen to John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, whose name? His name. Who is going to do it? God the Father? The first person in the Trinity? No, Jesus said, I'll do it. Listen, I don't know so much about a lot of you younger saints, but I ought to have a lot of you old saints climbing the wall. And you just said, so unconcerned, well, I've heard that before. Yeah, and you're going to hear it again. We need preaching like this. Because, you know, the devil, he's a sly old fox. Before you know it, he'll slip this out if you don't get rooted and grounded in it. Amen. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Now, notice carefully. Jesus prayed as a man. But he is the one who hears and answers our prayers. Now notice that. He's the one who answers our prayers. He hears our prayers. He prayed as a man. Now that's the mystery of mysteries. The one who prayed prayers as a man answers prayers as God. Let me make that statement again. He who prayed prayers as a man answered prayers as God. Now, the dual nature answers all the questions. Now, let me take you to Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 13, and verse 32. Now, I want to show you something here. I came across this last night in my study. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. Now, I want you to get this. And that's going to forever explode that little myth that's going around the country. But of that day and that hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. You see, the foundation of the Trinity doctrine is three separate distinct persons in the Godhead, namely Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all three co-equal in thought and in power. Here Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son, but the Father. Now, how could three people be co-equal in thought and in power, and one know more than the other? You know, scriptures like that, people never read it. As the flesh, he didn't know. But as God, he did know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you in John chapter 1 and verse 45. Now, this is when he's talking as God. See, he talked from two different standpoints. He talked as a human, and then he talked as Almighty God. Now, John chapter 1 and verse 45, I want you to get this one. And this will be about my last. Praise God. Listen, if everybody would stay with me, I'd go right on to 12 o'clock. I wouldn't even stop. You see, these scriptures are rich. They mean something to the saints. You see, preachers don't understand what I'm talking about. John 1:45. Now, you notice this. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That was God. He saw this man under the fig tree. Before anybody ever introduced him, he knew him. I said, he knew him before anybody ever introduced him. As the flesh, he said, the Son don't know when that hour is coming, but the Father, the Spirit does. He could talk as a human, and he could talk as God Almighty. Now he said, you were not blinded to me. He said, I knew you before anybody told me who your name was. I knew you because I saw you under the fig tree. Hallelujah. Then tell me that he's not God. Why, sure, he's God.